from KQED.
This is the California Report. I'm Lily Jamali in San Francisco.
And I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. We're going to start this morning in Sacramento, where Governor Newsom signed into law a bill that will make it harder for companies like Lyft and Uber to classify gig workers as contractors. The law will affect hundreds of thousands of workers in California, and some companies are trying to find a way around it. KQED political reporter Katie Orr has details.
Assembly Bill 5 codifies a 2018 state Supreme Court decision that found workers performing a core service of a business are employees. This has implications for many professions, but it could be particularly challenging for companies like Uber and Lyft, who rely on a contractor business model. The bill's author, Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez, says those companies put themselves in this position.
They have created so many millionaires and billionaires in the state, and that's great. That's innovative. But when you do it on the backs of the working poor, there's something wrong there.
Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash are pushing Newsom to come up with a third option for gig companies and have threatened to spend $90 million on a 2020 ballot measure.
For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
This morning, the Trump administration put out a press release on something that the president made quite clear this week. He's going after California's ability to issue tougher vehicle emission standards than the federal government's. Laurel Rosenhall of Cal Matters reports the state is considering payback. She joins me now by phone from Sacramento. Hi, Laurel.
Hi.
Hi. So what is California considering doing to punish car makers that don't take its side in this dispute now with the Trump administration?
Well, for a long time, California's had a program that's supposed to incentivize people who are shopping for cars to buy electric cars by offering rebates when you buy a car that's a clean, no or low emissions vehicle. So far, those rebates have been open to all different brands of cars, and the criteria has been more about, you know, the emissions level, whether the technology involved, not the companies involved. Now, because California has this unusual agreement with four car companies, which right now include Honda, Ford, Volkswagen, and BMW, there's discussion of possibly limiting those clean car rebates so that they would only go to customers who buy cars from those companies.
An opportunity to punish those companies that don't go along with California in this dispute.
It could be a punishment or it could be an enticement, depending on how you look at it. Mm-hmm. It would mean that the companies that are not in the agreement with California, it would mean that cars from those companies wouldn't qualify for the rebates. And it appears to be something that the state is looking at as a way to entice more companies to join this agreement that currently only includes four companies.
Laurel Rosenhall from Cal Matters, thank you so much for this terrific reporting.
Thank you.
University of California President Janet Napolitano says she is stepping down after holding the coveted job since 2013. She'll resign in August when she takes a role teaching at UC Berkeley. KQED's Vanessa Roncagno reports on Napolitano's time in office.
Napolitano oversaw a major boost in student enrollment and became a strong advocate for first-generation and immigrant students. Her tenure was also marked with controversy over the university's financial practices. She's the first woman to hold the post.
It was a tough decision.
Napolitano says the university will benefit from fresh leadership.
Long after I leave this job, I will continue to fight for public higher education because I am a staunch believer in its power to change lives for the better.
She dismissed speculation that the decision is related to her battle with cancer. After a year off, she plans to take a teaching position at the UC Berkeley Goldman School of Public Policy. For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Roncagno.
Let's turn now to how Californians are feeling about the 2020 election. The first poll in a new partnership between KQED and the San Francisco-based online polling firm Change Research is out this morning. It finds that Senator Kamala Harris is no longer the frontrunner here in her home state as she vies for the Democratic presidential nomination. KQED politics reporter Marisa Lagos has more.
In the survey conducted after last week's presidential debate, Harris clocks in at fourth place behind Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Joe Biden. The poll of more than 3,300 likely Democratic voters finds Harris at 11% support. Warren tops the field with 25% saying they'll vote for the Massachusetts senator. It's a big difference from July, when Change Research found Harris leading the crowded field with 23% support. But the other candidates' numbers have barely budged since that survey. KQED's Political Breakdown podcast is partnering with Change Research to conduct monthly polls ahead of the March 3rd California primary. The margin of error for this poll is plus or minus 1.7%. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
Let's head north now to Chico, which is the latest city in California to take over purchasing of its own power. Chico is just down the road from the town of Paradise, badly burned in last year's campfire, caused by equipment belonging to Pacific Gas and Electric. And so the decision to set up a so-called Community Choice Aggregation, or a CCA, was a highly charged one. It gives the city more control, but as North State Public Radio's Mark Albert explains, it doesn't push PG&E out of the picture.
The City Council approved the CCA by a 6-1 vote, setting up a joint powers authority in partnership with Butte County. Support for PG&E's leadership has plummeted here since November's devastating campfire, which killed 86 people. Under the new arrangement, PG&E would still deliver power and maintain transmission lines and other infrastructure, but locals would have a voice in deciding where the electricity comes from. Supporters say community choice aggregation could reduce costs and enable the purchase of greener power. Opponents say it would create unnecessary bureaucracy and fail to deliver lower prices. In a statement, PG&E said it pledged to cooperate with local governments developing a CCA. Regardless, the utility would still consider locals in Butte County customers running day-to-day operations, including billing. The Chico City Council is expected to create an implementation plan by the end of the year. For the California Report, I'm Mark Albert in Chico.
Chico wasn't the only California city to join the CCA trend this week. San Diego is also moving to form a community choice aggregation, not the most self-explanatory term, which is why we asked a lecturer at Berkeley's Goldman School of Public Policy for help. Steve Weissman with me out here in downtown Oakland. What is a CCA?
A CCA is an energy provider. It's something that's created by local governments to arrange to get electric power that PG&E or whatever the local utility is can then deliver into the grid.
So does that mean that if I am the city of Chico, I'm very concerned about PG&E's track record, that I'm getting rid of PG&E by starting a CCA?
PG&E will remain the wires company. They'll have the poles and wires, the kind of operations and decisions that were the context for fires, wildfires in areas like Chico. That doesn't change at all.
They own the grid. So then how does this allow a city like Chico to take back some of that control if PG&E owns the equipment?
Traditionally, PG&E also has to arrange for the power that gets delivered through the grid. And in past years, the utilities owned just about all their generating units. Now they just own the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant and hydroelectric facilities. But they enter into contracts with a lot of other providers of energy.
They don't generate all of our power?
No, they generate only maybe about a quarter or a third of the power that they're providing. So when a city like Chico takes over its own service, it can decide where to buy that power. And what that has enabled a lot of local governments to do is to try to accelerate the movement from natural gas and other fossil-fired power plants to renewables. And so some of the community choice aggregations have a higher percentage of renewable power right now than the traditional utilities do.
That was Steve Weissman, a lecturer at Berkeley's Goldman School of Public Policy. Well, let's head south now to the city of Los Angeles, which is trying to raise awareness about the human toll of distracted or unsafe driving. They're setting up rainbow halo memorials to honor victims of traffic collisions. It's a disc that refracts sunlight into a rainbow pattern onto the sidewalk. The California Report's Saul Gonzalez was at the unveiling by Councilmember David Ryu of the first of these memorials in the San Fernando Valley.
Even one life lost to traffic collision is one too many. Yet, over 200 people lose their lives each year in Los Angeles this way.
The city's going to place 100 of these memorials at locations around LA, where pedestrians and cyclists have been killed by motorists. The first one marks the site where 16-year-old Connor Lloyd Lynch died in 2010, when he was struck by a hit-and-run driver. Connor's mom, Jerry Di Lynch, is now a traffic safety advocate. She says in the years since Connor's death, the streets of LA have only gotten more dangerous for pedestrians.
Because people aren't paying attention. Everybody is driving distracted, or they're driving too fast, or they have distractions in the car, reckless behavior, that they're just not paying attention.
Like other cities in the U.S., Los Angeles has adopted a Vision Zero program. That means it wants to eliminate traffic fatalities by the year 2025. How? Through better driver education, cracking down on people using their cell phone or texting while behind the wheel, and eliminating lanes of traffic on busy streets so motorists slow down.
President Trump is back in Washington this morning after a memorable two-day swing through our state this week. He drew protests yesterday in San Diego, where he attended a fundraiser but also visited the border fence in Otay Mesa. And KPBS reporter Max Rivlin-Nadler was there.
Since Trump took office, the Department of Homeland Security has finished a 14-mile stretch of border wall replacement, stretching from the ocean to Otay Mesa. Trump's last visit to Otay Mesa was in March 2018 to review prototypes for possible border walls. Those prototypes were knocked down earlier this year. None of the prototype designs were chosen as part of the replacement fence. At the replacement border fence, Trump complimented Mexico on its recent efforts to drive down migration to the southern border of the United States.
The Mexican soldiers have been incredible. They've really done a good job.
Trump then signed the wall alongside construction workers. This concluded Trump's two-day visit to California, which focused on fundraising for his reelection campaign.
That was KPBS reporter Max Rivlin-Nadler.
And finally, climate-related events like heat waves and wildfires are getting worse. And as they do, a new study finds that the costs of these events are rising by hundreds of billions of dollars. Here's more from KQED science reporter Leslie McClurg.
An economist at UCSF teamed up with a nonprofit environment group to analyze health data in 2012. They reviewed records from 10 events ranging from ozone pollution in Nevada to toxic algal blooms in Florida. The health costs from just these case studies topped $10 billion. Because climate-related disasters are only increasing, researchers estimate healthcare costs already exceed tens of billions of dollars a year. Paul Auerbach is an emergency room doctor at Stanford University.
It's the most important health crisis of our time and maybe of all time.
The report shows that Medicare and Medicaid paid most of those bills. That indicates older and poorer people are suffering the most. For the California Report, I'm Leslie McClurg.
And that's the California Report for this Thursday, September 19th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Jamali in San Francisco.
And I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden by saving energy through simple acts like adjusting the thermostat a few degrees. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. Hint Water. Hint is water infused with fruit essences, including watermelon and blackberry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in grocery stores. Hint, mouth-watering water. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.